The shuttle came in low, over rolling hills, green fields, and orchards, much greener than her part of Altiplano, with no soaring mountains nearby. As the shuttle eased down, she saw a small stone building and a few ground cars, then, as it rolled to a stop, she saw two blonde women waving. Esme braced herself for the impact of Brunn's personality as the steward opened the shuttle door. Brunn would have her own agenda for Esme's visit. She needed Brunn's help, but staying on track might be a problem.
I'm not here to talk about fashion. I'm here to get into fleet.
Tarakian Fortune's Rockhouse Major docking space wasn't quite roomy enough for the entire pavilion, so Basil had to put up only the sign and half the office segment. With the extra crew, now helping Fleet with their inquiries, and all the Rockhouse cargo unloaded, he tried to estimate what their cubage and mass allowances were.
Any of the troop coming back?
He hoped so. Gunnar was grumpier than he'd been for years, muttering about lost time and wasted space.
Hey there.
Basil looked up to see a tall, lean, square-shouldered man at the door of the office. That man had been in authority somewhere, though he didn't look like the businessman his suit made him out to be. Military. Ex-fleet, maybe. But not very ex by that settled air of command.
Yes?
How many passenger spaces do you have?
Basil's neck hairs stood up. He could feel the roughness on the back of his shirt collar.
5 usually, but I'll have to check with the captain. We have a tentative reservation.
Basil wanted Bethia back on this ship if he had to drag her by the leg and shove her into Gunnar's cabin.
I'll take him. Cash on the deck. Isn't that what you free traders say?
Have a seat and I'll get the captain.
I'll just wait here.
Basil noticed how the man stood, half concealed from the busy concourse beyond, but in position to jump either way. Basil had taken that same position himself more than once when dockside trouble threatened. He retreated to the inner door, stepped through, thumbed the call button for Gunnar, and came back out at once. The man had not moved.
The captain's on his way.
Gunnar, when he arrived, looked tired and depressed, but greeted the man politely as he always did.
Passenger space. 5 cabins, but they're simple. This isn't a passenger liner.
The man gave Basil a speculative look and turned back to Gunnar.
Your man said you had a tentative reservation tying up one of those cabins. I'll pay cash for all of them right now.
There was a deposit.
Basil relaxed slightly. Gunnar was going to stand behind him.
We don't renege on deposits.
You said 5.
Total, yes. There may be 5 if the person who reserved that place doesn't show up, but otherwise there are 4 available. Where are you bound?
I'd rather not say. I want passage with you as far as Millicent.
I presume your papers are in order, yours and the other passengers?
Of course. What do you take me for?
Because we don't transport fugitives or involve ourselves in politics of any kind. We list passengers on the manifest, which we provide to the station master prior to departure, just like the regular passenger lines. This is the policy of Tarakian and Sons. And it is my duty as captain of a Tarakian and Sons vessel to so inform anyone seeking passage with us.
I'll wager you don't bother with that if it's a pretty girl.
On the contrary, sir. The company is most particular. No matter of passenger's age or sex, to avoid any entanglements.
Basil, knowing Gunnar's every mood and tone, caught that Gunnar had caught on to something as well.
Well, it's no problem to me.
The man stretched as if quite at his ease, but Basil knew that stretch was as studied and intentional as Gunnar's bland tone. And as the man's arms went over his head to stretch, Basil caught a shadow that bespoke something under his jacket, which ought not to be in the armpit of an ordinary businessman.
Good. Now our run from here to Millicent is 16 days.
16 days? Isn't that rather leisurely?
We're not a fast passenger packet, sir. We're a cargo ship primarily.
Listen, I've spent some time in ships myself. I lost my ship when the company lost a court action. That's why I'm on Rockhouse. The company sold her to pay the fines. I know that route, Captain. There's a way to knock several days off. It'd increase your profit.
There's a flux bite in there, if you're talking about that yellow route.
Oh, that's what they tell you. You'd never even notice it. Fleet just yellow-tagged it because they want the fast routes for themselves. My wife's cousin's in Fleet. He told me.
Well, I'm not taking Old Fortune on a yellow route, just to save a couple of days. My company would have my ears.
Basil saw the man's hand twitch, an involuntary movement quickly controlled.
Not even if I offered a bonus? We really need to get to Millicent faster than 16 days.
What can a couple of days matter? Millicent's a bore anyway.
It matters to me. Why isn't your concern? I'll pay extra for you to take the fast route, and I assure you the flux bite is of no concern. I've gone that way many times myself. Not the slightest bobble.
I'm not taking my ship through on the say-so of some stranger.
Not for half again the fares? Man, that'd make your profit on the voyage by itself.
It wouldn't pay me for the ship if something did go wrong. You're maybe hazarding your own life. I'm hazarding my ship and my kin. Oh, no.
The man's lip curled, and Basil noticed that his knuckles had whitened as his fists clenched. Basil shifted his own weight, ready just in case.
Your ship. Your ship is nothing but a fat-bellied old tramp.
White patches stood out around Gunnar's mouth.
Then I gather you won't want passage with us. Kindly clear the space.
You're an idiot.
The man turned on his heel and strode away. Basil leaned out the door to watch as he headed on down Trader's Row.
I suppose we should have gotten his name before we cut him loose. Did he really think I'd let him send us into a trap?
What kind of trap?
You saw as well as I did that he was military. Could have been a mutineer, or just a bad'un turned out years ago and turned pirate.
I wonder what he wanted at Millicent.
I wonder what he wanted on that yellow route. If I remember correctly, there's an extra jump point in there, with about a 2-hour transit. You have to make a low V down jump, reorient the ship. In other words, it's the perfect place for an attack. That would require another ship.
Huh. If we knew about it, maybe we could trap the other ship to get the reward.
What we could get is dead, Basil. I don't like this a bit. He'll find someone to take him on that route. Him and whoever he's got with him. Did you notice anything else?
Basil poured it all out, every detail he'd noticed. From the way the man stood in the door and wouldn't sit down, to the twitch at Gunnar's mention of the father's taking his ears.
Ears? Now I wonder...
What?
Basil, remember what Esme said? Rumors that the mutineers were followers of Lepescu and took ears as battle prizes?
So, he is a mutineer?
Might be. I suppose pirates might take ears too, but I wish we'd gotten his name.
We have some of his ID anyway.
Basil could have laughed at the shock on Gunnar's face.
How? He didn't come all the way in or sit down.
No, but he did put his hands on the doorframe, and I don't think he was wearing gloves. And since he conveniently stood in one place, I was able to reconfigure the office scans to pick him up. If you're thinking of making points with the station master, we can call up.
Not the station master. Fleet. But do something, Baz, to protect those prints on the door. That fellow just might come back and smear them himself, if he thinks of it.
Right.
Basil moved to the door and glanced out. There he was again, headed their way, but stopping short when Basil appeared. Basil lounged there, putting his own hand on the door frame, but a hand span higher than the other man's, and stared him down. This was fun. This was almost as much fun as rearranging the man's face, which he hoped to have the chance for later. If he was smashing up a mutineer, no one could object too much. Finally, the man shrugged and turned away, ducking into one of the little shopping arcades that opened onto the main concourse.
Call now. Your instincts were right. He was on his way back.
I'm assuming you didn't put your hand in the same place.
Not me. I'd been in enough rows to know better.
Trust you to know. I wonder if it fooled him. I'm putting on full security.
Basil assumed he was on the comm talking to Fleet, but no sound came through the security screen. Basil busied himself in the little waiting area outside the office, bustling in and out, carrying and stacking cartons. Assuming he was under surveillance, he managed to bump or touch the doorframe repeatedly, each time avoiding the area where the other man's hands had, he hoped, left their prints. He was running out of ways to rearrange the same few cartons when someone approached him from outside the line.
Tarakian Fortune?
Yes.
Basil turned around. Two men in Fleet uniform.
Great. Now the mysterious stranger will know we snitched.
Did you transport a former Fleet officer named Esme Sweezer?
Sweezer? Why?
We're trying to find her. I'm Commander Tavard. You know there's a mutiny on.
Yes.
Well, Fleet's recalling all former officers and offering them commissions again. Anyway, we were told Esme Suiza was a passenger of yours. Is that right?
Suiza of Altiplano? The hero of Xavier?
Commander Tavard's eyes rolled, and the corner of his mouth twitched.
The very same. Could we come aboard and talk to your captain? Or Suiza, if she's here?
She's not here at the moment, but our captain is. He may know where she's gone. Follow me.
Basil flicked on the perimeter security, which wasn't by any means as good as that in the office, but would foil idle passers-by.
Anything we shouldn't touch?
Basil grinned to himself. So this wasn't about Esme. It was the answer to Gunnar's call.
Right through here.
He opened the office door with an extravagant gesture and waved them in, the waving arm happening to protect the side of the doorframe with the prints. Gunnar was already on his feet, alert.
Captain, this is Commander Tavard. Come to ask us about Esme Suiza. He says they want her back in fleet.
Glad to meet you, Commander.
Basil noticed at once that the office security screen was off and raised an eyebrow at Gunnar, who shook his head.
Sarah Suiza's a fine young woman. It beat me why she was discharged.
A misunderstanding.
Commander Tavard nodded to the other man without introducing him, and the man opened his case and removed the sort of equipment Basil had seen station security use to gather evidence.
It should never have happened, but we couldn't trace her at first. I know you listed her on your departure manifest, but quite frankly, no one thought to check the manifests for general cargo vessels. The local command was sure she'd rented a yacht under an assumed name or something.
Basil watched the shorter man apply a strip of some translucent material to the entire doorpost on the correct side without revealing anything that could be seen from dockside. He himself stood where he could see through the narrow opening he'd left. He had to admire the cover story the commander had come up with. When the second man had peeled the strip away, sprayed it with a fixative, and coiled it neatly into an evidence pouch, Basil handed him the data cube that Gunnar pointed out. A copy, no doubt, of their original scan data.
I can understand why you'd want her back, but she's not here.
Is she coming back? Did she leave any luggage?
No. She told us she was going downside to fleet headquarters on Castle Rock itself. I think she was hoping to get back in somehow.
If so, they haven't informed us yet, but I'll make a few calls and see. Oh, by the way, you might want to be on your guard for mutineers trying to make contact with civilian ships. We've had some reports of attacks that might be piracy or might be mutineer activity. You'll be getting a fleet advisory in the next day or so when we've refined the data, but I strongly advise you to stick to only green routes, even if you normally use a few yellows to save time. And if anyone approaches you wanting a fast or secret passage, I hope you'll let us know.
Of course. But I don't suppose there's a reward in it.
No. I would think your own self-interest would lead you to do the right thing. If these mutineers start robbing ships because of information they get from you civilian captains, you'll wish you hadn't been so greedy.
Gunnar nodded his appreciation of that speech.
I don't call it greedy. I call it making a decent profit from risk, which you people don't have to worry about with all your expenses paid for you by taxes on me.
I'm not going to argue with you. I just hope you'll do the right thing. Or you'll regret it someday.
The two men left, trailed by Basil and Gunnar. The commander turned at dockside.
If you see Suiza, please let us know. And remember what I said.
I'll remember. You take care of your precious fleet and let us get on with our trading.
When the two men had walked out of sight, Gunnar turned to Basil.
What a lot of pompous twits they are, as if I didn't know how to spot troublemakers myself.
He led the way back into the office and Basil followed, wondering who had been in the audience for that little playlet, and how they'd taken it.